Today, Shir Masech, the Kedushin Daf Chav Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Ashkechan Saita Di Surah. In our previous Shir, we had learned from the Mishnah already that the halacha is that there's a concept of Gilgul Shvuah, that even if somebody, if there's a subject for which there is no obligation midaraisa to make a Shvuah, Gilgul Shvuah teaches us that if you're obligated to make a Shvuah, Gilgul Shvuah says that you make a Shvuah even on things that normally you would not be obligated to make a Shvuah. And the Gemara so proved this concept of Gilgul Shvuah from what we learned by a Saita. There are only certain circumstances where a woman becomes a Saita, but the Torah teaches us that once a woman becomes a Saita, and a husband makes her swear that she did not do anything she was not supposed to do, the kohen makes her swear that she was innocent in different situations, which those situations for themselves would not be situations for which a woman would be mechuyev to make a shvuah. So the Gemara starts today's shir by saying, Ashkechan Saita. We found that by a Saita, which is a situation of Isser, if she's mutter or usser to her husband, we find the concept of Gilgul Shvuah, Mimayim Amnolam. But how do we know that we say this concept of Gilgul Shvuah even when it relates to financial matters? And as many Mefarshim point out, the Pnei Yeshua and others point out, that every Saita situation actually carries with it a financial element as well. For as we have learned, a Saita, if she's indeed a Saita, is deprived of her ksuba. So why are we saying that a Saita is considered a Surah and not Mamayna? So says the Pnei Yeshua, that even though the Saita does come with a financial element to it, it's primarily a situation of Isura. The moment is not the main focus, and that's why the Gemara is able to say that Saita is a situation of Isura. But how do we know Mamayna that we say the concept of Gilgul Shvuah Menolam? Says the Gemara, Tana Debeira, Shmuel, the Pasuk says we learn it with Kal V'chaimer. Oma Saita. If by a Saita, Shlai Nitna Litova Be'echad. When a Saita, as we discussed in our previous year, the way a Saita becomes a Saita is that the husband wants her not to remain alone with a certain man, and then she remains alone with that man. But the halacha is, so the warning is called the kinui, and the being alone with that man is called stira. And the halacha is, it's not considered a stira unless there were two people there. So if a Saita, Shlai Nitna Litova Beit Echad, that you can't force her, she doesn't become a Saita just based on one aid. Still, we learned that we say the concept of Gilgul Shvuah, so certainly, Mamon, Shenitna Litova Beit Echad, the halacha is that you could make a claim that somebody owes you money. The halacha is that you can make a claim just with a Eid Echad to make a Shvuah, and it didn't, that by the Shvuah Mamon, we can make Megalgalim. The Ritva points out that the way to understand this limud is to really understand it that with a kavachomer, it's a legitimate limud. Because very often, points out Ritva, we have in Shas the concept of Isura Mamayna Lo Yopinan. We can't learn Hilchus Mamon from Isura. And yet here the Gemara is trying to do so. So the answer is that, says the Ritva, that when it's a kavachomer is a very strong limud. And therefore, since it's such a strong limud, we could even use a kavachomer to learn mimana miyasura. But ask the Gemara, ashchem bevadai, this halacha that you can make somebody swear by mammon is only when you have a definite claim. Safek menolan, how do we know that we indeed use the concept of Gilgul Shvuah even by Safek? What is the case of Safek? The case of Safek is that when the two partners whose partnership is dissolving. So even though no partner is definitively aware that his partner did something wrong, but he could still make him swear. So the question is, how do we know that we say Gilgal Shvua there as well? So the Rishonim ask, why is this considered a good question? If we're learning from Saita, isn't the whole concept of Saita a concept of Safik? We don't know for sure that she had this improper relationship. So we see that we could say Gilgal Shvua even by a Safik. So why is the Gemara bothered by the fact it's a Safik? So he says that even though the husband doesn't know for sure that his wife had this improper relationship, but the reality is that the husband does know that his wife did something wrong. There was kinui and stira. And that's why it's not considered the same type of suffix, like when one partner wants to make the other partner swear on a totally unsubstantiated claim. Answers the Gemara, Tana Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Nemra, the Torah says Shvu b'chutz, that there's a Shvu that takes place outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which really means all Shvu's normally don't take place in the Beis HaMikdash, but Nemra Shvu b'fnim, and then we have a Shvu that takes place in the Azara, the Shvu of a Saita. Ma Shvu asur b'fnim, osaba safik kvadai, the Torah says that in all circumstances you have to swear. Ashu ha nemer v'chutz, so too by the shura that's nemer v'chutz. The halacha is also by sofik kavadai. We treat the sofik like a vadai, and therefore the halacha is that she's considered a full. We can make gilgal shvua from one to the other. So there's a machlokes rishonim. How does this limud work? Tosfos and the Ran say that this is considered a mamatzinu. The opinion of the Ritva, Ramban, and Rishba is that it's the way this limud goes is with a gzeri shava. Says the Gemara, at hechen gilgal shvua. So how far, asked the Gemara, do you say gilgal shvua? In other words, how strong or weak does the claim have to be that we should be able to apply the concept of gilgal shvua? Says the Gemara, Amir Hudam Rav, Dam le shvua li shein avdi ata. That even if you go over to a person, say to him, make a shvua that you're not my eved, and there's no basis to say that this person is your eved, it's still considered a case that you could say gilgal shvua. But ask the Gemara, how could that be? If somebody makes a claim on another individual that he is his eved, and he doesn't have any proof to substantiate that, hahu shamutim shamtin alai. A person who makes that claim about somebody else deserves to be put into cheirim. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Hakarila a Khaveri Evid, if somebody calls somebody else an Evid Kanani, Yehei bin Nidui. So since he spoke so disparagingly about another Jew, he has to be treated in a disparaging manner. What does that mean? He's put into Khairim. Mamzer, if he calls somebody a Mamzer, the Alochi is Saifik is Aboim. He gets Marcus Mardis. If he calls somebody else a Rasha, the Alochi is the person who he made that accusation to could do whatever he wants to protect his name. So how can we say that this is a case, asked the Gemara, of Gilgal Shvua, says the Gemara. Here we see that you don't make a Shvua. On the contrary, somebody who uses this kind of language against somebody else deserves to be in a Cheirim. So the Maral explains, why does he deserve to be in a cheirim. So explains the Maral, because he called somebody Orr. By calling somebody in evidence, as if he's saying that person is a cursed person. Because the Pasuk says, regarding Canaan, Orr Canaan, Evid Lomai. Canaan is cursed, and that's why he became an Evid. And therefore, if you speak about a person that way, you deserve to be cursed by putting into cheirim. So Gemara said, Hakaril Chaveri Mamzer, Soifik is Aboim, you get Malchus. So Tosfos explains, by saying that this person is a Mamzer, so then this person should not have been allowed to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. And if he does marry a Bas Yisrael, so then he did a lav for which he would get Malchus. That's why by you saying this about him, that you will get Malkus. Points out the Ran, what will be the halacha if the person whom you called a mamzer never got married? So if he never got married, he didn't do a Malkus bearing Aveira. So says the Ran, because since if he were to marry such a woman, he would be chayv Karis, he would be chayv Malkus, even though he maybe actually didn't, doesn't make a difference. So here we learned Soifik HaSaboim. Now certainly, for calling somebody an Eved, the Malkus you get is Malkus Mardus, Malkus Drabotin. And the question throughout Shas, the Rishonim often debate, how much is Malkus Mardus? So some say that it's 40 Malkus, 39 Malkus, like by all Malkus. And the Raya is our Gemara, because the Gemara here says, Soifik HaSaboim. So here, the Rishonim, which is the opinion of Rashi and the Rivosh, gets the same as somebody who's Chayiv Malkus when were Chayiv Medaraisa. The Ran, however, disagrees. And the Ran says that Malkus Mardus is more serious than regular Malkus. And by regular Malkus, the number is 39. Here, the halacha is you would get even, by Malkus Mardus, you get even more. The Tshuvas HaRosh discusses what happens if somebody, in the heat of an argument, calls somebody else a mamzer. What will be the halacha? So the Ran says that somebody who use, of course it's unacceptable, the Tshuvas HaRosh says that somebody who used such a word in the heat of an argument will not get Malkus, because he's considered an oinus. He didn't do that because he really believes he's a mamzer. He just did it because he got upset and he used that kind of words. And in fact, the Ratfaz says that what Al Gemara says, Akaris Chaveri Mamzer Soifik Saboim, he says that it is in Bezdin. If somebody comes to Bezdin and he calls somebody else a mamzer in the setting of Bezdin, that's when this halacha of Soifik Saboim applies. The Magen Avraham in Siman Tuf Reish Vav Sifkat and Vav quotes the Mari Vayel that if somebody calls somebody else a mamzer, the appropriate thing to do is that the person who used this derogatory term should go to the Beis HaKfaris of where this person who he called a mamzer's parents are buried and ask Mechila, because the claim is really against the parent. The Magen Avraham, however, quotes the Yamsha Shloima, who disagrees. He says, and it's what we said earlier in our shir, that the issue when you call somebody a mamzer is because you're saying if you are a mamzer, you should not have been allowed to marry this regular Jewish woman. So the claim is not against his parents. His claim is against he himself, and therefore the Magen Avraham, quoting the Yamsha Shloima, says, again, of course, as we said, it's highly inappropriate to speak that way about someone else, but it's not a reason that you have to go to the Beis HaKfaris to ask Mechila. So the Maral says, why are we so strict when you call somebody a mamzer? And why do we give a Malkus 40? So he explains that we know that a fetus is formed in 40 days. And therefore, by you calling somebody a mamzer, you're saying the formation of this individual, which took 40 days, was baveira. And therefore, you get Malkus, the number of 40. The Trumas Dashan says, what's the halacha if somebody says to somebody, you are like a mamzer? He didn't say you're a mamzer, he says you're like a mamzer. So the Trumas Hadeshen says that that's not the same as what we learned in our Gemara. However, the Marivail says, and the Marivail says the same, that it's not considered as if you called him a mamzer. But interestingly enough, the Ramah in Chai Shemishpat, Simen Tuf Chof, Sif Lamches, actually brings a machloikis if it's considered like you called him a mamzer, that you get Malkus. So the question goes back, what is the case
of Gilgal Shvuah, says the Gemara, Ela Marava, Hishavali, when somebody says to make a Shvuah to me, Shleinim Kartali Be'evet Ivri, that you were not sold to me as Evet Ivri. Ask the Gemara, why is that something that's only a Gilgal Shvuah? It's a valid claim. If somebody goes over to somebody else and says you're Evet Ivri, and it should be considered a full fledged claim that he should have to make a shvuah. He claiming that you owed your work to me. Answers the Gemara. We go back to a concept that we learned earlier. Rav la tamei. Rav is following his opinion. Dama Rav Evet Ivri gufi kani. Evet Ivri becomes the property of the owner, and since it's not ever becomes the property of the owner, it's not considered a kinyan metaltlin. And as we quoted the Ramban, what does it mean when we say an Evet Ivri is gufa kanui? Says the Ramban, what that means is that the Evet Ivri, the Ramban says, means that the Evet Ivri now has two kinyonim. The owner has two kinyonim. One is that he could work for him, and the other kinyan is that he has to, one kinyan is that he has to work for him, and that he can marry a shifcha. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we look at Evet Ivri, Yachi Karka, he's the same as Karka. And we learned already the Einish Bon al Karka. Answers the Gemara, Ma'ad Taima, Karku Davidid Inchidim Zabni B'Karcina. People sell property sometimes quietly. They don't want people to know that they need to sell their property. And Issa the Zoven, so if somebody sold the property, less the color, it's not really well known, and therefore you could do Gilgal Shvuah. Hi, im Issa the Zoven, but if somebody became an Evet Ivri, color Islay, everybody would be aware of it. And therefore, if we're not aware of it, it's obviously a proof that it never happened. And therefore, even Gilgal Shvuah should not be warranted, Kamashmon, that we do make a Gilgal Shvuah. The Tayag Daisha, the Nach really, in Rus, says, Rezois Lefnebi Yisrael, Al Gulva Tmura, Lekayim T'kol Dovah Shalof Ish Naloi V'nosin L'Reyehu. So here the Gemara speaks about Kenyan Chalipin. So the Rishonim say that this Pasuk that we just quoted really speaks about three different types of Kenyanim. Gula means Kesef, paying for what you purchased. Tamura is chalipin. L'kayim kaldavar is, so there's two, as we explained in the previous shurim, the two types of chalipin. The tamura is a barter, when you exchange two different items. L'kayim kaldavar is what's known as kinyan chalipin. Kinyan chalipin is not kesef, and it's where a symbolic kinyan takes place, and that's enough of a kinyan. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, in speaking about Hilchas Chalipin, Kol Anasa Domnim Ba'achar, something which is used to, as payment for something else, Kimin Shezochaba, as soon as the seller receives it, not as payment, but he receives it, the Gemara, of course, we'll discuss this more in a moment, as soon as he receives it as chalipim, the schayin zeh b'chalifov, the kinyan is considered a full-fledged kinyan. Ketzad, and the Mishnah itself explains itself. Hechlef shar b'paro chama b'shar, if somebody gave to somebody else an ox or a donkey in exchange, kimin zachal zeh, as soon as the seller receives it, then the deal is considered neschay b'chalifa, the deal is considered consummated. Says the Gemara, chalifin ma'inehu. What is meant with the kinyan chalifin that our Mishnah referred to? Says the Gemara, matbeya, that if you use a coin, says the Gemara, can be used for chalifin. So, shmamina, so says the Gemara, based on what we just learned, we learned that matbeya can nasa chalifin, that a coin can be used to affect chalipin, says the Gemara, and that's really a question because the Gemara Masech Bava Metzia Daf Mam Vav Amar Aleph actually teaches us that a coin cannot be used as the instrument with which to make chalipin. Says the Gemara, Amar Yudah Kamin. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kol an nishim dama ba'achar. Something that we have to take the value. When we want to buy it or sell it, we need to value what it cost, which is another way of saying any metatlin. Kimin shezocha zeh, as soon as the seller gets such an item, that means as soon as the seller gets the object for chalipin, the schein b'chalipin, the sale is a sale. Deikanami, it says the Gemara, it approved to you, that is the way to understand our Mishnah. The Tani, let's learn what the Mishnah says. Ketzad chifle shara v'chamar or chamar b'shar. The Mishnah, shar b'para or chamar b'shar. But the Mishnah didn't speak about switching money. So we see that money, a coin, cannot be used for chalipin. Says the Gemara, ulamai desakadat mikara, but ask the Gemara, according to the Havamina, which according to the Havamina, the Mishnah was teaching us, that a coin may be used for chalipin, the matbeh nas mechalipin, so my ketzad. So the Gemara's question is, we need to understand, how could we assume that what the Mishnah meant to say was that a coin can be used for chalipin? If that's what the Mishnah said, then the example the Mishnah gave doesn't match the halacha the Mishnah gave. Answers the Gemara Hachkamer. This is what the Gemara meant to say. Peris nami avdi chalipin. That with fruit you can make chalipin. Ketza, what does that mean? Hichlev, it doesn't mean actually a shor. If chichlev pasa shor bapar, bapar basa chamo bishor, kimish in the dachze nasib nchai bichalipin. Says the Gemara, assumes the Gemara, that the Gemara actually in Masechet Baba Metzia, daf mem zayin amen aleph, has a machloikis, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshis, if we can make chalipin with peiris. So according to Rav Sheshis, that peiris can be used to make chalipin, that's so the Mishnah is understandable. But Rav Nachman learns there in Masechet Baba Metzia from the Pasuk in Rus of Shalof Ish Naloi, which as we said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, is the source from where we learn Kenyan Chalipin, that Chalipin can only be made with a keli, like a na, like a shoe. Peiris cannot be used for Chalipin. So ask the Gemara, according to Rav Sheshis, that Peiris can be used to make Chalipin, so we understand the Mishnah. But ask the Gemara, Eller of Nachman Dama Peris Le'av the Chalipin, according to Nachman the Peris cannot be used for Chalipin. So again, we're back to where we started. Michael Meima, how do we understand our Mishnah? And says, the Gemara Hachkamer, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Yesh Damim Shem Kechalipin, that the situation where money that you pay for something else, as soon as the seller gets some of the money, he becomes responsible. Not because of chalipin, because everybody agrees that a coin cannot be used for chalipin. What the Gemara means to say is that a coin can be used to affect the sale. Ketzad, exactly what does that mean? Hichlev demei shor b'para, if you chayiv money, if you obligated money because you bought an animal, and you demei chamar b'shor, and you gave another animal as payment, then the sale is a valid sale, even though you didn't do mashicha. Normally when you buy an animal, we've learned you have to do mashicha. Here, mashicha would not be required. Ask the Gemara, but why taka? My tama, why would mashicha not be required? Answers the Gemara, savalak Rabbi Yochanan, because the Tana of our Mishnah actually agrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, d'vat toyer midaraisa mos koinus, that paying for something is a valid way of doing a kinyan. Umatam amru mashicha kana. Why did Chazal institute that we have to do mashicha and can't just rely on paying some money? As we described in a previous year, if somebody's going to give somebody else a down payment, somebody buys something for me and he gives me a down payment, and if at that point, as far as I am concerned, the sale is done, now I don't feel any responsibility towards those objects anymore. And therefore, if there will be a fire, chas v'shalom, in the warehouse where those objects are, I wouldn't feel any responsibility. Or I could say they got burnt. But since that's the case, the Chazal instituted that you have to do mashicha. It says the Gemara, when did Chazal make the rule that we can't just accept payment as a way of accomplishing a kinyan. The milsa de shchiach, the normal way where you're paying. So Chazal said because of this concern that that isn't a good way to do a kinyan. The milsa de shchiach goes by rabbanon. The milsa de loy shchiach goes by rabbanon. Ask the Gemara. But now we have to understand the Mishnah according to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, who holds, disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish holds that Mashicha is valid Midaraisa. That means according to Reish Lakish, Kesef does not work Midaraisa. So now we have to understand the Mishnah according to Reish Lakish. If Reish Lakish agrees with Rav Sheshes, the Amar Peiris Avdi Chalipim, that Peiris can make Chalikin, Mataris Kri Sheshes. He'll say, like the Gemara wanted to say a little earlier, that the Mishnah means to say you could use Peiris for Chalipin. Ella Isavala Krav Nakhmad Amar Peiris Lai Avdi Chalipin, Amat Beiloi Kone Kesev is certainly not a Kenyan. How will he understand our Mishnah? Must, says the Gemara, Akarch Krav Sheshes Filei, we have no way of understanding the Mishnah other than explaining that Reish Lakish must hold like Rav Sheshes, that you could do Chalipin with Peiris, and since you could do Chalipin with Peiris, that's what the Mishnah is telling us is a legitimate way of doing a Kenyan. Says the Gemara, Rishus HaGvoya, Hegdish B'Kesef, is Kenyan Kesef is enough to make a Kenyan for Hegdish. Or Rishus HaHegit, but if you're transferring something between individuals, not Hegdish, you have to have a chazak, you have to have a mashicha. And now the Mishnah adds another halacha. Amiras l'gavaya, when I verbally pledge something to Hegdish, k'misras l'hegit, it's already considered like a kinyan, and it's final, and I have to keep what I said. So the Pash Pshat in the Mishnah is saying that Hegdish, as we just finished saying, kinyan kesef is normally not a valid kinyan, but by Hegdish, it is a valid kinyan, for metaltlin, and between regular individuals, meshicha is required. And Taisus Yatav says that even though the Mishnah uses the word chazaka, it's not to be understood in its usual explanation of the chazaka. It actually means a meshicha. The Ritva and the Meiri explain when the Mishnah says a mirasal l'gvayk mirasal l'hegit, Mishnah is saying that. Not, we're not speaking about things that need Mashicha. He says that what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that even though we speak often, particularly in the last couple of Shurim, the halacha is we speak that a kinyan is always required. Here, by a Hegdish, that it's not required. And the Mordechai takes this a step further. He says that when we say the halacha of Amiras L'Gvayk Mesiras L'Hegit, it doesn't even require that it should be verbalized. Even if somebody just made a decision to give something to Hegdish, this is a concept that we've discussed in previous Shurim, the concept of Nidrei Tzedaka, the halacha is as soon as you made a decision, you're obligated to fulfill your decision. And the Mordechai bases his psak on the words of the Tarek Darsha, where the Tarek Darsha says, Kol Nediv Leiv. Says the Rosh says that I agree by Hegdish. That by Hegdish, as soon as you made a decision to give something to Hegdish, even though you didn't verbalize it, you're obligated. But he says that's because the Torah used the words kol nediv leiv, as the Mordechai just said. And the Torah used the words kol nediv leiv by Hegdish. By tzedakah, the halacha is that you have to verbalize your obligation. Moreover, the Meiri says that even according to the Mordechai and Rosh, that say your obligation to Hegdish is finalized as soon as you verbalize it, that's because you're obligated. But we know when something is Hegdish, if you use it for your own personal use, there are the halachas of Mila. Says the Meiri, the halachas of Mila don't apply unless it became Hegdish through a full-fledged verbalization. The Magen Mishnah says that this din that the Mishnah just taught us of Amiras L'Gvayk Mesiras L'Hegit is only a din midrabanan, but it's not considered an achiyev daraisa. There, the Stei Chemed quotes opinions that disagree. And they hold that Amir Rasul Gvoy Kmis Rasul Lahegdish is a din deraisa. I saw that Rabbi Zeal Meislish Tzatzal in a Sefer Eitz Hadas HaToiv, he explains al Pidrush, Amir Rasul Gvoy Kmis Rasul Lahegdit. He says what it means to say is that when a person is going to say words of Lahegdish, words of Divrei Torah, words of Tefillah, Kimsiras Lahegdish, for those words to be considered significant, they have to be said with Mesiras Nefesh. For our Divrei Torah to have value, then they have to be done completely with Mesiras Nefesh. So the question that needs to be understood is why indeed, if somebody just said Amiras Lahegdish, and not only we're saying Amira, we're learning now, according to many Rishonim, that you don't need an Amira. All you need is just to think it. Kimisiras lahegdit, it's considered a full-fledged kinyan. How does just saying something make it into a full-fledged kinyan? So the Mefarshim explained a concept that we've discussed many times, and that is, what is the explanation, what is the reasoning behind a kinyan? A kinyan, the reason a kinyan is effective is because a kinyan represents a gemiras das. When somebody decides to give somebody something to Hegdish, it's considered so serious that the gemiras das that's required by a kinyan is automatically in place. So here we're learning the concept of Amirasoi Lahegdish. And the question is, here we're speaking about giving two Hegdish. I saw the Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita in his Sefer Cheshukei Chemed discusses reverse situations. The situations that he's reflecting on is when Hegdish took on an obligation. He says, for example, the shul was having problems having a minyan. And there's a person whose wife is pregnant. And because his wife is pregnant, there are many people who have a minig that when the wife is pregnant, they ask for psicha, the opening of the Aron Kodesh. So since the gaboim of this shul were very anxious to get this person to come daven in the shul, they told him, if you'll come daven, we'll give you psicha. And then, before we get to the psicha of the Aron Kodesh, somebody shows up and he says his wife is in labor. So he needs the psicha even more. So the question is, do we give the person whose wife in labor the psicha, or do we give the person who we made a commitment to? He says that the halacha is that we should give it to the person who needs it right now, and that even if he paid for it, the halacha is that you should give him the psicha. There are others that disagree, and there are those that say, for example, let's say the lias in a shul was sold. The lias in a shul was sold, and somebody bought himself an aliyah. And then after he bought himself an aliyah, somebody shows up and says, I'm a chiv, I'm obligated to have an aliyah. What's the halacha? An argument could be made that the shul doesn't have to give up the income it already made to give this person an aliyah. Interesting discussion. Tanabon Ketz Rishus Gavoy Kekesef says, what is meant when the Mishnah says Rishus Gavoy Kekesef? Giz B'Shenosim Mos V'Behema. If a treasurer of Hegdish paid money for an animal, Yefilu Behema V'Soifa Oilem, even if the animal is not here, it's on the other side of the world, Kono. Behedyet, but by a Hedyet, as we've been learning, like Kona, it's not considered a Kenyan, at Shim Sheikh, until we have Mashiach. Next question says, Ketza, what is meant, I'm a Rosal Gvoya, Kimis Rosal Hedget? Somebody says, Homer Shaza Oila. If somebody says that this animal should be used for carbon oil, buy a Hegdish, this house should become Hegdish. A Filu Besaif Oilam, even if the house is on the side of the other world, on the other side of the world, the Kona, it becomes Hegdishes. The Hedget, it's like Kona. Until he does Mashiach in the shore, or he does Chazok in the house. Says the Braisa, Moshchoi Mona, if somebody came to buy something from Hegdish. He came to buy an animal from Hegdish. And he did Mashicha when it was worth the mana. Philaspik left Isai, but he didn't have a chance to pay until Ach Omer B'Masayim, the price of animals, the went up to $200. The Loch is nice and Masayim. Hegdish wins, and he's going to have to pay Masayim. My Tama, because the Pasuk says, the Torah says, V'nosan HaKesev HaKomoi, when the Torah speaks about redeeming Hegdish, the Torah uses the words V'nosan HaKesev HaKomoi. So we learn from these words that only when you actually paid does it become yours. Without actually paying, it doesn't become yours. So Hegdish, the Gemara is saying, has the right to exercise that rule and not give it over until the whole money, and say the deal wasn't a deal until you pay. What about the other case? Moshchoi b'masayim. He did Mashiach when the animal was worth 200. Until the now price of animals dropped and it's only worth the mana. Then he has to get, and but when he did the payment, when he did the Mashiach, it was worth Masayim, nice Masayim. My Tama, because it says the Gemara, we don't want that a Hegdish should be stronger than a Hegdish. By a Hegdish, the halacha is that we follow Mashiach. So as soon as he made Mashiach, that's the price. Now, if it dropped, it's to the disadvantage of the buyer. And that, we don't want to mistreat Hegdish. Padam Masayim. Let's say he paid the 200 to Hegdish. V'lehispik l'mashcha ad sh'amah b'manah, but he didn't do Mashiach until he went down to mana. Noisim Hegdish, he has to give Masayim to Hegdish. My Tama, the Nosan Kesef HaKamlai, we follow when the money was paid. What about Padam Manah? He gave the $100, which was the value. V'lehispik l'mashcha ad sh'amah b'masayim, but he couldn't do Mashiach until it went up. Then he only has to give the mana. Says the Gemara, but why is that? Why are we mistreating Hegdish? Am I? Why not here too do we not say, but Hegdish paying is not is immaterial. So why don't we say the same thing by Hegdish? And since you didn't do the Mashiach, the Kenyan should not be considered a Kenyan, and you should have to pay the whole value. Says the Gemara, Ata hedjet. If what would be the halacha if somebody sells something to somebody else by a hedjet, and if he paid for it, he didn't do mashicha, and it went up in value, and now the seller wants to back out. The halacha is he has to accept upon himself a misha para. The misha para is the Gemara Masechet Baba Metzia Daf Mem Dalar Amal Aleph says the misha para ma'anchi dar amabel medar aflaga Hashem. Who punished the Dara Mabel and Dara Flaga, who also li parim misha enem deburo. He will punish the person who doesn't keep his word. Here too, once money was paid to Hegdish, Hegdish, even though it could technically say, maybe we should be able to get out of this obligation, but it's the wrong thing. You gave your word. You made a deal. And since you, Hegdish, gave your word and made a deal, you are obligated to keep it, even though if technically you maybe should be able to get out of it.